Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, would you, this morning? We're looking at a practical letter to the church by a just man. James was called a just man by Josephus and others after that. Our text this morning is found in beginning at the 13th verse. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for preserving the word so that we here in 2022 could embrace truth from the pages of this word. We thank you this morning because it gives us life and breath. We thank you for the shelter that we find in your word, and especially for truth. In a day when truth is not honored, we thank you that you give us truth in your word. Help us, O Lord, to embrace and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's passage, we will examine those trials that come from within. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you out of the first part of this book, of those trials that come from without. It's kind of important for us, well, it is very important for us to distinguish between these two. Trials that come from without or those that come from within. We call trials from without trials. They come against us. Those that we face from within are, we label them as temptations. Someone said there was never anyone so good that he was exempt from trials and temptations. That's true. Even Jesus. Would you say that with me? Even Jesus had trials and temptations. There were people coming against him under the influence of the enemy from the outside. There were pressures that were put on him. But also, he was tempted. And these temptations that came, you remember the temptations of Satan himself, as Jesus had fasted and was in the wilderness, and the enemy came along to tempt him. Don't think that you're alone when you're facing trials and temptations. How many will admit this morning you have trials and temptations? The trials are a little easier for us to admit to, because I said they come from without. But what we're looking at today are the temptations, those things that come from within. And this will uncover a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. He knows how to bring us through these temptations, if we will allow him. I read a little story, I said it back in 2005 on a Sunday afternoon. Man by the name of Pedro Sinville. His children were playing outside when all of a sudden they noticed something and came running into the house and cried out, Dad, there's a bear under the house. went outside to find that there was a 700-pound bear who was hibernating under their front porch. Bad day. Local authorities were determined to remove the bear, especially since there was a school across the street. Sandville's mother said, "It's very scary. I'm just praying that he'll take off. It's like having a bomb under the house." I guess. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I could get Sharon to go back to that house for a while. Probably even after the bear was gone. Quite often, the things that tempt us are like a bear under the porch. How many of you will say this morning, in a point of honesty to those around you, "I know at least some of the areas where I will be tempted"? Yeah. Now, let me ask it one more time and just be honest, okay? How many of you know some area or areas in your life where you will be tempted? That's better. Thank you. Now, we can identify them. They are many times the bear under the porch. You know, you can choose. If you had a bear under your front porch, you could choose to always use the back door. But if the bear is there, the bear is still there, right? And you would call up your friends and your neighbors and you would say, "Now listen, if you come to my house, you will want to use the back door, lest you wake up the bear." What bear? We have a 700-pound bear under our front porch. Most of us, though we will confess that there are temptations in our life, we just assume nobody else knew what they were. I mean, if some of you would like to stand up and tell us all your temptations, I suppose we could listen. We can't do anything about them. I want you to see this morning through the words of James here that there's some hope in the midst of our temptations. First of all, let's understand this, and here's a big word for you: provenience. The provenience of temptation. You might understand or count this word a little better understanding: source. The source of our temptations. James uses two different words in this chapter, and I've mentioned this already, but let me clarify one more time. Periasmos, which is the first word that he uses in those first 13 verses, making a trial, an experiment. It is when God allows a trial in our life, not that we would fail, but him knowing that we can and will succeed. Trials from the outside come to us with God's confidence that he has put into us, he will allow us. You remember Job? Anybody ever read that book? Finally, I'm through it in the mornings. It seems to go on forever. But Job's situation, when the devil came and presented himself with the other angels and asked to, well, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the enemy said, "Well, if you take your hand off of him and I begin to touch his life, we'll see, he'll curse you." God had confidence in Job. I want you to notice something this morning before we go any farther, that God has confidence in you. He has confidence in what he's put inside you. That he is able to keep you through many, many, many circumstances. Isn't it interesting, this word right here, he says he will not allow us to be tried, if you will, those things that come from the outside, beyond what we are able to bear. But he will give us what we need in advance so that we can overcome. I don't know about you, but I think, thank you, Lord Jesus. It's always a disappointment to me when he has prepared me, warned me, everything about it, and then I still end up messing up. Come on. I think every believer in here has had those moments, and when we do, it grieves our hearts, doesn't it? Because we realize, Lord, you told me, you warned me, you gave me what I needed, and I still moved past that. The other word that is used is perizo. It means to try, to test, to prove. These are temptations that come upon us to bring us to failure. So it's very important that we realize where these come from. Because these temptations are temptations to failure. Trials come to test what God has already put in us with a confidence we can say he's prepared us in advance. Is everybody kind of with me on the two? From without, God allows because he has confidence in us. The temptations that come from within are caused to bring us to failure. James says God is not the source of internal temptations. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That's about as plain as it can get. So temptations that are trying to cause us to fail do not come from God. No matter how strong you are, no matter how able you are in him, God is never trying to get you to fail. We even often ask the question, why is God doing this to me? When we struggle with a temptation over and over and over again, God is not doing that to you. God does not tempt us to failure. James tells us that the source of temptation is, ready for this, within us. But each one, he says, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. By the way, you know, let me clarify something to you this morning. As a pastor, I have a different responsibility than those who will come in and speak to you as guests. You are aware of that. When we have guests to come in, their responsibility is to come in and bring you encouragement, to bring you closer to the Lord, to uplift, to help you. What God, the office that God has given to me as your pastor and to future pastors, will be to bring you the Word of God in its fullest. Some of it is easy, some of it's refreshing. Some of it rebukes, some of it corrects, some of it admonishes, but all of it is in love. I want you to realize this morning as we're identifying this, and maybe it stings a bit on the inside, I'm not trying to hurt, but help. Realizing that temptations that we face come from the evil that is within us is not an easy thing. It's not easy to swallow. We want to put it on the outside. We want it to come from someplace. It's got to come from someplace. It can't be coming from me. I go back to Job. If you read in the book of Job, Job says, "The very thing that I feared the most has come upon me." He kind of proved that with his children, because every time that they would get together and have a party, the next day he would bring forth sacrifices for them just in case they sinned along the way. He was concerned, he was afraid, if you were fearful, that his children would fall away. When the enemy wanted to go after Job's life, he knew exactly where to go. What did Satan say to him? You know, when all of his sheep and his goats and his camels and everything had been taken away, and his children had all been killed, and all of his servants had been killed, and he still did not curse God, the devil said to him, yeah, but touch his flesh. How did he get there? He realized that there was confidence that Job had in his flesh. Read Job's statements about being a righteous man and worthy, if you will, of God taking care of him, and that he would not be sick and he would not have disease. He would not have pain. As a matter of fact, then when it came, who was he blaming? God. How could you do this? I'm righteous before you, he's saying. Now I know Job. None of us are like Job. Huh? Why do I keep being tempted by this, God? What are you trying to do? God says, read my word. I don't tempt anyone. I'm after your success, not your failure. All temptation comes from the evil desire that is within us. That portion of our flesh that is so attached to this world and all of its life, that we move after that desire. Very important when we're going through temptation to realize where it came from. Another portion here, we see the hand of the evil one. Because just like in Job's life, he is our accuser as well. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, lurks about, seeking whom he may devour. If you have a weakness in your life, he knows that weakness, and he wants to exploit that weakness. He will place before you the opportunity for you to fail. I apologize to those who own this establishment, but I'm pretty sure that Magic Morning is of the devil. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and there's others in here that know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, as you drive down 16th Street, it's Lure. Some of you know what it is to be thankful when it's not open on Monday or Sunday. Can I get a witness? I'm just saying this because I think you probably understand this. You understand. I mean, even when I'm not hungry and I drive by Magic Morning, I'm thinking about what I could get to eat later. I know you're sitting there going, oh, he's sick. No, I'm just being a little real with you. There's a chocolate eclair that they have. Chocolate, oh my goodness. Mother Teresa, how many have heard of her? Mother Teresa, she was beginning her ministry in Calcutta, went for days looking for a place where she could live and do her work. And she couldn't find a single place that would fit, which would allow people to come in and children and, well, constant flow. Day after day after day, she labored walking through the city trying to find a place where she could minister to people. She said, my feet are aching and I've not been able to find a home. And I also get the tempter telling me, quote, leave all this and go back to the convent from which you came. See, we're not alone in temptations. Down inside of her, There had to be, and I know that I've done enough things by myself and for the first time and all of that. There had to be something inside of her that says, I don't know, this is impossible. But that drawing, that urging that she felt down inside of her to help children and to help the lepers and all the things that she ultimately did was groaning down inside of her, a ministry that needed to be done in Calcutta. But as day after day after day, she could not find a place, then she begins to question everything. Well, maybe I really wasn't hearing from God. Well, maybe I'm just not supposed to do this. Maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to do this. Where'd that come from? It was the devil exploiting the weakness in Mother Teresa. Do you realize that her ministry today, even in her absence, feeds over 500,000 children a year? Ministers to 90,000 leprosy patients and educates 20,000 kids. Temptation. What if she'd have given up? See, that's the point. When she was being tempted, how many days? I don't know how many days because the story does not tell how many days that she was walking and trying to find. Last Sunday morning, I had the privilege of being in one of the churches that I pioneered in West Lafayette. And it's so rewarding to experience that. But I remember, and Sharon remembers, how on the edge we were. Because when we went, we had decided that we were going to go there, but part of it was we needed to find a place to live. And so we drove a U-Haul truck with our dog in it. We left our two boys with their grandmother in Columbus, Ohio, and we drove the U-Haul truck, and Sharon followed me in the car over to West Lafayette, and we needed to find a place. And we searched all day and could not find a single place that would accommodate us. And I could just remember, she climbed up into that truck and we're sitting there, the dog between us. Are we off course? Maybe we need to just go on back to Columbus and go from there. So close. 37 years later, as I stood on the platform last Sunday, that's what came to my mind. Just so, so very close. And the tempter is saying, no, 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 no. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, yes, 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 yes. So we got in the car and we went driving around through a community, and there was a house for sale by owner. And I said, I'm going to call that guy. And I called the guy. I said, would you be interested in renting this house? Yes. I said, well, we'd like to really move in quickly. He said, you can move in right now if you want to. He said, I'll come by and give you the key and you can pay me whenever you can pay me. Thirty-seven years later, there's 400 people stretched out in front of me, young and old, and four people gave their hearts to the Lord last Sunday. See, I understand temptation, but I also know that there's victory in Jesus. Here's the progression of temptation that we are given here in this scripture. You see, it begins with our own desires. Can you own that? Are you brave enough to own that your temptations come out of your own desires? I think that there's something to stand on there, because then we begin to pray, God, give me new desires. Truly, let the old things pass away and let all things become new. But give me new desires, because my old desires are leading me into temptation. We want to place this problem outside ourselves when it starts inside us. Psychologically, this can be called deference or transference, because you are taking a problem that you have and placing it elsewhere. Spiritually, it's called denial. When we deny that temptations have come from within us, even those that Satan himself is bringing in our direction, he watches our lives, he listens to our words, he can tell where our weaknesses are as we yield to our weaknesses, and then he camps out there in our lives. Can I get a witness? Because most of the time, we fall in the same traps over and over and over again. Placing the guilt for our transgressions on someone else or on something else seems to relieve some of the pain. It is a tough thing to admit that the root of our temptations come from our own desires. So much easier to say that someone else is responsible for your failure in temptation. Well, if they would, on and on and on. The progression of temptation says after desire has conceived. You know what that is? Desire conceived is when you begin to plan to fulfill the desire. Come on. You begin, this can take hours and days to set up a plan to fulfill that desire, that evil desire that is within us. Sometimes temptations manifest in a moment. Opportunity comes, boom. Other times, desire is conceived. We give birth to it. We begin to plan for it. Situate and move things around in our life. It's important to realize that temptation and even the planning is not sin. The problem with it is that when it is conceived, in other words, when we give desire birth and it begins to manifest or begins to unfold through planning in our lives, it's very difficult to stop the process. Don't put a piece of chocolate cake with ice cream right in front of me with a spoon or a fork and then say, don't eat it. Come on. I can tell you the level of my sickness. I was sharing this with somebody the other day. The level of my sickness is when I'm eating that piece of chocolate cake, I'm wondering, is there another piece? Sorry. So don't take me up there. Don't let my desire be conceived. See, right now, I can see that. I can smell it. I can even sort of taste that piece of chocolate cake. But don't set it down in front of me and give me a spoon or a fork. These preparations to act on temptation take on many forms. One is playing out the desire in our minds. See, some of the preparation takes place right in there. Playing out the preparation in our mind. And then organizing life to accommodate the desire. A publisher was reviewing a recent book. It's described as a thoughtful, detailed discussion of every aspect of considering, preparing for, beginning, and conducting, listen to this, a successful and emotionally fulfilling extramarital affair. The name of the book is Affair, How to Manage Every Aspect of Your Extramarital Relationship with Passion, Discretion, and Dignity by Cameron Barnes. So for just $19.95, you can learn how to have a successful affair. If you buy the book, you're in trouble. You follow me? So just go and buy the book. Then the question is, why? Why are you spending $20 to find out how to have an extramarital affair? Even to see it on a shelf in the library and to pick it up and to browse through it has to beg the question, why? I don't know what the book looks like. I just read this article. I don't know what the book looks like, but I bet it has it probably has an enticing cover. Huh? You see, it will be the individual who already has it down in their heart where they're already thinking about the possibility of an affair who will reach out to take that book. I'm just going to browse through it. I'll just read the chapter headings. Huh? A third step in the progression of temptation that James gives us is sin. That's when the desire becomes a reality. It's no longer a thought, it's no longer being planned for, it's no longer just a desire, but now it is being done, said, accepted. And in that place, it is sin. And James says, when it is sin and it is manifest in our life, it leads us to death, destruction. Hey, listen, folks, there's a lot of death that still has breath in it. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the wages of sin is death, Paul says. But that's not just physical death. It can be the death of your marriage. It can be the death of your peace. It can be the death of your hope and your confidence. There's a lot of different forms of death that come over us because of sin. James says sin, and when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Nathan Willis makes this statement, and I think it's very important. It's one we probably should write down. No degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. No degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. I couldn't help myself. It's not an excuse for sin. We want it to be. There is no temptation that is common to man that he has not given power, if we want it, to overcome. Let's finish this. There is a promise against temptation here. In verse number 16, he says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Even as sin leads to death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Even in your and my failure, even when desire has manifested itself and we sin, there is still hope for us through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Don't allow the enemy of your souls to cause you to believe the lies of the enemy. The enemy wants us to believe that God is causing our temptations. Own it. Own it. Confession of sin. I've talked to you about this before, and I'll continue as long as I'm with you. And that is, own the sin specifically. Lord, what I did, I was a glutton. Lord, I was a gossip. Lord, I am filled with lust. Out of my lust, I have sinned. Identify the desire. Identify the action. Don't just say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? Because then I don't have to label it. Then I don't have to own it. Then I don't have to work about it or against it in my life. But get specific. The enemy of our souls will try to tell us, oh, just stay away from it today. Oh, stay away from it. Now you know. You know you're not like this. Self-justification. We want our righteousness to come from Christ. We want our forgiveness to be in Him. So own your desires. Own your failure of your desires. And give them to Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to help us to overcome the temptations in our lives. Do you believe that? If we truly believe that, then the only one standing in the way is us. The only one standing between me and temptation becoming sin is me. And more than likely it is because I have not really owned that thing, that is, that evil desire within me, or I've somehow justified it as not being that bad compared to what other people do. Or maybe it's Sharon's fault. Huh? Every time I sin, I kick the dog. Convenient for you, hard on the dog. And it doesn't change your state. Owning our sin, owning our desires that led us to the sin is hard. But that's where victory lies. Because we have forgiveness for our sins in Christ Jesus. Here's the promise. Nothing but good comes from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. That's what he says. God wants to do good things in your life and through your life. Do you receive that this morning? He wants to bless you. He wants to set you free. He says that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Redeemed from the decay of sin, redeemed from hopelessness and hopefulness, redeemed and set free from the power of sin and death, given forgiveness, given a fresh opportunity to succeed, given the promise of eternal life. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. He's ready to forgive you this morning for your sins, but he's also ready to help you to identify the desire that is deep inside of you that is taking you down the path where sin originates. How many like to be free this morning? I mean, really free. Free of the temptation. Free of the stuff that's behind your sin, your transgressions. Temptation, John Bunyan said, temptation, when we first meet them, are as the lion that roared upon Samson. But if we overcome them, the next time we see them, we shall find a nest of honey within them. Now you have to know the story of Samson to enjoy that. Let me be done. The source of temptation, not God, but our own desires. And the enemy of our soul is there to help promote our evil desires. The progression of temptation begins with desire. Desired is planned to fulfillment, and fulfillment of the desire equals sin. The promise against temptation that only good comes from God, redemption comes for the failure, and strength comes to fight the next fight. Praise the Lord. I read a little story I share with you as I close. A little five-year-old who had disobeyed mommy was told, go to your room for a timeout. So crying, she went to her room. A few minutes later, the mom, being a mom, she loved her, so she was going to go in and talk her through the situation. Her mother went into the room to check on her. All teary-eyed, she asked her mother, why do we do wrong things, mommy? Her mother said, sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong and we listen to him. We need to listen to God instead. And I thought the little girl's reply was right on. She responded, but God doesn't talk loud enough. Wouldn't we like it if God's voice was as loud as the temptation that is within us? He speaks so softly. I want to get him an amplification. He speaks early and he speaks soft, as it's just at the point of desire in our lives. You don't need to go there. You don't need to do that. You don't need to say that thing. You do not need to partake of that. That often we just jump right over the top of his voice, pushing on past and begin to plan and ultimately to sin. I can't tell you this morning that his voice is going to get louder, because he speaks softly within us. But you and I can grow in wisdom and understanding, and it can make a difference in how we deal with the temptations in our life. First of all, identify the fact that the temptations come from within us, and that they didn't come from the Lord. They came to destroy us. They came to cause sin within us, which brings death. Not just physical death, but death of a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of hope. But God loves us. He's ready to forgive us when we fail, and he's ready to inspire us and help us to overcome the temptations. How many are thankful this morning for God? Thank you, Lord. I think it's a pretty good passage. This whole part of understanding external trials and internal temptations. Own it. Amen? Stand with me, please. Shannon, wherever you are. Thank you, brother. This morning, as we conclude, I would like to pray for you in the midst of your temptation. I'll not bother to ask how many are dealing with temptation, because you've already pretty much confessed that earlier. So let me pray for you. And I pray that you will pray for me as we battle temptations. Huh? Father in heaven, thank you this morning for your word. Not one of the easier passages, not one that we get really excited about and are so excited to hear, because we would like to put all of our temptations external. But you've clarified for us that they come from inside of us and are seated in our desires. I pray first this morning for those that are casting this off this morning, not wanting to believe that it comes from within them. I pray that your Holy Spirit would show them the reality of this in their personal life, of how their temptations come out of their own desires. But then, Lord, I also pray for those who are in a battle and on a battlefield as they go through their lives, things that are entrenched in them, desires that are down inside of them that they're fighting with continually. Oh God, help us, first of all, to identify those things and to keep them before you. And help us, oh Lord, to listen for your voice, for your wisdom, for your direction as we're heading into the battle. And you give us the word, your word of truth. Help us to hear that word. And then, Lord, I pray for those this morning that are standing here in defeat because they have yielded to temptation. And they seem and they feel helpless to that temptation. I pray this morning that they would recognize your forgiveness. You said if we would confess our sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are ready to receive our failures today. So help us as we turn them loose and give them to you and start fresh in the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that there would be a fresh anointing upon them, upon each and every life. They walked into this place hopeless this morning to the sin that they have engaged in this week. I pray they would walk out of this place today hopeful, full of hope in you. The greater is he who's within me than he who's in this world. Give them strength and power by your Holy Spirit. Help us, O Lord, to gird up, as your word says, our minds. May they be set upon you. And may victory come. May victory come against the temptations, against the desires of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And everybody that receives it, say amen.